The seven last words that Jesus gave as he was hanging on that cross are important seven last words. Amen. These types of services have been going on down through history since the beginning of time, and it demonstrates and work its way all the way through the fabric of who we are. You need to know three things. You need to know who God is. You need to know who you are. You need to know that you are saved. And you need to know that you belong to God. In these critical times that we are living, you need to know to whom you belong. Amen. You need to know that, and you need to act like that. I am convinced that the only way we're going to get out of the mess that we are in is going to be through the divine power of God. Yes. Amen. Yes. It ain't going to be no black church. It ain't going to be no white church. It ain't going to be a Hungarian church. It's going to be the church. Yes. And we are going to be speaking and talking and sharing the word of God. Yes. For the word of God has power. I said the word of God has power. And we as human beings, we need to remember that. If you don't know God, I hope that you would get to know him and accept him as your personal savior, because there's no other way out of this world other than through him. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is. I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care what kind of degree you hold. Your way out is through Jesus Christ. And in this life, you are going to need him before you leave here. Amen. But I have a question. I'm a no-nonsense person, and I'm going to give it to you raw. Amen. I have a question, and that question is, I want to put before every person here tonight, and that question is, have you seen the last statement of Jesus the Christ make a difference in your life? Have you seen it? Have you noticed it? The last words of Jesus as he was hanging on that cross, Father, forgive them. Now, I told you, right, your pastor got more confidence than me. I ain't never preached the seven words. So we're going to get through this together. Have these seven last phrases that Jesus uttered, have they made a difference in your life? I want you to write it down. Don't look at me. If you look at me, I'm going to look better tomorrow, but don't look at me tonight. Don't pay me no attention. I want you to focus. I want you to focus on the power of God in your life and in the life of others. We do not live in this world alone. Amen. We are not a utopia of ourselves alone. We are a composite of one another. And we need to learn how to get along with one another. Amen. We need to learn how to have respect for one another. We need to learn how to be helpful to one another. Amen. Now, I'm from an amen church, so you better say amen, or we'll be here all night. Amen. Have you kept these seven phrases that Jesus uttered before you in your living time, doing your livelihood? Have you made them a part of who you are and how you live? That's the question. Do you keep them present in your thinking and your daily behavior? I tell you something, how you act, you better be careful how you act. You better be careful how you carry yourself. All these people, some of these people I met tonight, I worked with them years ago, a long time ago. I'm old, I just look good. Amen. And here we are tonight meeting again. And I can thank God that I've kept myself contained and in order with what I do. Amen. I was human resource director for two hospitals. And I did what I was instructed to do. I did what my profession called for me to do. I spoke the truth. I stood for the truth. And I'm like that now. It ain't no ifs and ands and buts about it. So I don't have to bow my head and duck because of something I said 20 years ago. Amen. I didn't come to convince you of that. I'm just sharing that with you. The question is, do you keep these phrases, these seven statements in your thinking and in your daily behavior? Think about it. Maybe you haven't really paid it much attention, but it ought to be a part of us. We ought to, if we see any God, if anybody see any God from this day forward, it will be because they will see that God in and through us.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. They will see it through us. Are these small groups of phrases used in your daily character? Or do you live one way on Sunday, another way on Monday, a different way on Wednesday? Friday is different than Saturday, who knows what, and then all we got to dress up and polish up is Sunday. Can God depend on us to be who we are, a representative of Him? Come on, y'all.
Amen.
Do they set the standards by which we live our daily lives? Ask yourself that question. If you practice what you do, it will become automatic. So if you are kind, you are going to express kind expressions. If you are loving, your action is going to demonstrate love to somebody. You are who you are. And so since we say we have been born again, then I declare to you we ought to act like we've been born again. We ought to walk like we've been born again. We ought to walk like we know the Lord. We ought to walk like we belong to Him. I'm going to get to the seven words, but I want you to think about what it is that we are doing and why we are here tonight. Do these set of standards by which we live our daily life, are they the examples? Are they the crutches that holds us up? Are these seven statements a part of your foundation of raising and governing your family? Or do you go around, I'm the boss, and you do what I say do? You eat when I say eat, lay down when I say lay down, and get up when I say, is that your mentality? Is that how Jesus is? Is that how He has been to you? You know, the truth of the matter is, there's not a person in this building tonight that can tell the exact second that you fell asleep last night. There's not a one of us here. Oh, we roused up and wiped our eyes, but you don't know the exact minute that God woke you up. Think about it. Are these seven statements a part of your foundation for raising and governing your kids? I stopped at the barbershop to get a hair. I didn't have much. They didn't have much to cut, but I had to cut what was up there. But I was sitting there in the barber chair and two or three guys, and they use such vulgar language. Lady came in with five kids, small staff steppers. They were just using all kind of vulgar language. And then we wonder what's wrong with our society. Ain't nothing wrong with the society. There's something wrong with us. I knew the time I grew up in the South. Now, I don't know where you grew up, but I grew up in the South, and you wouldn't dare use a vulgar word. If you did, you expect to be getting some dust or mud off of you because they would knock you down. You said, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. We said, thank you, ta-ta. Now, y'all don't know what ta-ta, that means thank you. We were brought up. And so our character all depends. Think about Jesus hanging on that cross. One of the first ones that he said, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but one of the first statements was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, we're serving a God who is kind enough to take all of the nasty stuff that we have said, all of the nasty ways that we have acted, all of the mean, low-down ways that we've acted, and here he is getting ready to give his life, and he makes the statement, Father. He's talking to his daddy. You do know Jesus is the Son of God. He's talking to his daddy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He was talking about them that had put him up on that cross, but he was talking to humanity, period. God's intent was and is that we get a clear understanding of what his will and intent for all mankind. Yes. I don't care what you say. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what hill or valley you live in. We go to sleep the same way everybody go to sleep. Close your eyes and snore. We wake up like everybody else wakes up. Amen. He wants us to get a clear understanding. And so once we get a clear understanding that you're a human being, he's a human being, she's a human being, those children belong to somebody, they're as valuable as my children are. When we get that attitude, then the world will become a different place. God says to us in all of our getting, make sure that you get a clear understanding of what God's will is for all mankind. He didn't say for preachers. He didn't say for bishops. He didn't say for cardinals. He didn't say for presidents. He said for all mankind. His first statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jewish leaders, Roman politicians and soldiers, hanging him on a cross. God answered that prayer by opening up the way of salvation, even to Jesus' murderers. Even those that were getting ready to murder him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Well, he knew what he was doing. It was God's divine will that he would come into the world as the Son of God, that he would be crucified. That was part of the will. He knew what was going on. God answered that prayer by opening up the way of salvation to Jesus' murderers. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I know Reverend Shannon done told y'all that since he's been here, so there's nobody in this building should not know that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to remember that. When you're going through trials and tribulation, valleys and hills in your life, you need to remember that Jesus is the Son of God and that he loves you. You might be a devil, but he loves you. Come on, talk back to me. I'm at Monroe tonight. You ain't no different than Monroe. They look at me funny. God loves us. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. Do we get out of line? Yes, we do. Do we say things we shouldn't say? Yes, we do. But he uses a word, forgive them. Make sure you remember that tomorrow. Forgive them. He said, forgive them. Yeah, they got me hanging on this cross. Yeah, they getting ready to pierce me in the side. They getting ready to nail my legs. They getting ready to do all of this. But Father, forgive them. And he was able to say that because Jesus knew his purpose. You ought to know your purpose. Young people, know who you are. Know to whom you belong. Stand for who you are. Come on here and talk back to me. He says, I meant to give you a text, a subject. My subject is Judas, you don't want none of this stuff. Yeah, Judas betrayed Jesus. Yeah, lied on him. Judas, you don't want none of this stuff. Because God will get you. He will get you. Amen. So he says to those that were getting ready to finally put him to death, Father, forgive them. Secondly, he says to those, he did have two thieves hanging beside him. And one of them talked all kind of derogatory remarks. And the other one said, Father, when you get into your kingdom, remember me. Now, he done did all this stuff. You know, and some of us raise hell all week long, all day long, all night long, cussing each other out and talking about them. And I don't like how you look and you don't act right. And then God said, forgive them. Look at what he said to this one thief here. He says, today, you will be with me. What's this church? People's Community. He said, you will be with me this day in People's Community. That ain't what he said? I'm glad you read the whole Bible. That's not what he said. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I firmly believe that there's somebody here tonight. You've raised hell all your life. But God is willing to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unkindness. I'm putting a nice finish on it, unkindness. God is ready. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. This statement was directed to the two thieves who was on the cross beside Jesus. They were guilty, but Jesus was making provision for them too. Amen. Ain't you, oh shucks. Just let me talk like I did down south. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad that Jesus, God, made provision for you today? Ain't you glad that he woke you up this morning? Ain't you glad he let you go to your job? Now, I know you can say aren't. I'm just trying to keep it real, that's all. We serve a God who is willing to forgive us. Now, how I want you to handle this from tonight, I want you to don't walk on your job and look at somebody and say, you know, I can't stand him. You getting enough gospel here tonight to overcome that. Don't talk about, I don't know what he up to. You don't need to know what he up to. Just know what you are up to. Stand for who you are. Stand for what you are. Stand for the principles of life, Christian principles, godly principles. Don't worry about how he stand. You don't have to go home with him or her. Oh, y'all might as well talk back to me. Let me move on here. The next thing he says here, this third step. He says, woman, behold thy son. He saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. Now that word behold means to look after. Look after her. Now some of y'all stop raising so much hell and take care of your family. Oh, and no need of getting tight with me. You ain't going to decide whether I go to hell or go to heaven. That's already worked out. So just leave me be. He looks at her and says, woman, behold thy son.
Yes.
And he says, son, behold thy mother.
Yes.
Yeah. That word behold means to look out for, to care for the needs of others.
Yes.
Always remember the position of mother is very sacred. And don't ever let your tongue and your feelings get in the place where you say anything derogatory, if that word derogatory is too big, nasty. Don't you never say nothing nasty to your parents. Y'all looking at me funny. Don't you say nothing nasty to your mama. I remember my brother, my oldest brother, he's dead now. And my mother had arthritis so badly, and he cursed in her house. And before he knew anything, her fingers was bent up, but she had gotten a fork. And he cursed and grumbling, and she walked up to him and stabbed him in the side, all the way into his intestines. And her words to her, you don't talk like that in my house. Don't look at me funny. I'm trying to help you so that this world would be, at least this area around here is going to be better. I don't know how the rest of the world is going to be, but all this area around this church is going to be better. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. There's no person that exists that's closer to you than your mother. Now, I don't care what has happened. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what she did. I don't care whether she was walking. When I say I don't care, I would love to see her walk with the Lord. But all mothers don't walk with the Lord, but they're still mamas. And whatever, however they're walking, God is able to correct it. God is able to bring them back into focus. So keep your mouth shut. Don't ever put your mouth on your mama. And for that sake, your daddy either. The word behold means to look out for, to take care of. He says to this disciple, behold thy mother. Keep a watch out for your mother. Well, I started to say something else, but I won't. Some years ago, I met a deacon, Deacon Elijah Ross, and his wife, Sister Johnny Ross. And they were deacons at the Pilgrim Baptist Church on 37th and Indiana. And Deacon Ross got sick, and he went into the hospital. And I would leave the hospital, because I live right near there, and I would go pick up Mama Ross and drive her to the hospital. And I'd come back in the evening when I got off and picked her up. So I went there that Friday evening, and Mama Ross was sitting in the hallway. And Deacon Ross told her, said, Johnny, come in here. That's what he called her, Johnny. Her name was Johnny Ross. And he said, sit down, son. And I sat in the chair, and he said to Mrs. Ross, I'm getting ready to go home, but I want you to take care of that boy. Be careful how you walk in this life. You don't know who's going to help you there. She says, take care of it. So Deacon Ross died. And later, some weeks later, Mama Ross called me and told me, come over here, son. And he said, what is your mama's number? And my mother was living in Arkansas. I gave her the number, and she dialed the number and got her on the phone. She said, Mrs. Wyatt, this is Sister Ross. And I have your son here, Caleb Wyatt. And my husband, before he died, told me to take care of that boy. And I'm calling you to tell you I'm going to take care of him on that end, this end, and you take care of him on that end. Mama Ross did that until she drew her last breath. Be careful how you walk, church. Be careful who you're talking to. Just because you're in a crowd, in the grocery store, or in the barber shop, or the beauty shop, or the nail shop, or the foot shop, whatever shop, be careful what you say in there. Be careful. Number four, Jesus says here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was not questioning God. He was not questioning God. He was quoting the lines of Psalms 22. Turn your Bible to Psalms 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? That's Psalms 22 and verse 1. Verse 2 says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. In other words, he kept calling out. When you're going through difficulties, don't forget, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed to keep calling out on God. Don't worry about you being a hell raiser all the week. Just leave that by the byside. Allow God to be God in your life. He can change you. He can stop you from raising hell. He can stop you. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest me not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabiteth the praises of Israel. Don't forget, don't forget to cry out to him. Jesus said, I know what I'm doing. I know to whom I belong. I know who God is. He's my daddy. I actually know my purpose. It hurts, but I know my purpose. I know my purpose. I know I'm going to be killed, but I'm being killed that you might live. I know I'm going to be killed because I know I got some problems, but you're going to have some problems. Yeah. And I'm going to be your problem solver. Yeah. Is there anybody here that ever got in trouble and did not know how you were going to get out? But somehow and some way, God worked it out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can go ahead and you don't have to prove nothing to me. I ain't got no hell or heaven to put you in and ain't got no money to help you. But thou art holy. One of the things we have to be careful is just getting to the point that we do not allow God to be God in our life. We start judging ourselves and we know we have been a devil over here and I turned this way. Back over here I was another devil and turned the Bible upside down. I took a little nip. Smoke some weed. So I ain't fit for nothing. God can change this whole world if he wants to. I'm not saying do those things. I'm not saying smoke weed. I'm not saying sniff coke and crack and all. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying go and buy you a gallon of whiskey and drink until you don't know you ain't drinking. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, let God be God. Well, let me move on so I can get out of here. I ain't got no watch on, so I can't tell no time. So y'all just sit tight. This fifth word, he says, I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. I thirst. I'm thirsty. Have you ever been thirsty? You can be thirsty for more than water. And I ain't talking about no liquor. All right. there can be other things in life that you are thirsty for, that you would like to have, other positions you would like to be in, happiness you would like to see your children being happy, other young people being successful. Thirsty. He says, I'm thirsty. But notice now, he's getting ready to die. He knows that. He's getting ready to die. He knows that. But he said, I'm thirsty. He says, I can't wait until I get to the position that my daddy got set aside. Oh, shut up, y'all. I can't wait until I get to the position that my daddy got set aside for me. Y'all ain't feeling it. Until this time, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Always remember, God is going to get around to you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how short you are. I don't care how unhappy you are. God will eventually get around to you. Yes, he will. I'm telling you what I know. I used to be the ugliest thing around, but Lord, look at me now. God will get around to you. Look in John chapter 19, and I want you to look at verse 29. John chapter 19 and verse 29. He says, now a useful, no, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Put it to Jesus's mouth. My God. My God, my God. Now, a vessel full of sour vinegar sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and then put it to Jesus' mouth. Jesus went through something for us to get us where we are tonight. I said, Jesus went through something to get us where we are tonight. If you had told me 15, 20 years ago, it ain't been quite that long, that this church would be what it is now, I would have told you a lie. Now, what I mean is, I knew the congregation that was here before. I've been around a while. But you know something? Let me tell you what helps me out. There's a scripture said, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It ain't got nothing to do with how long your hair is. It ain't got nothing to do with how bright you are. It ain't got nothing to do with what hill or valley you live in. It ain't got nothing to do with whether you ride a donkey or a cow. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered the heart, the things that man, God has prepared for them that love him. Yeah. Yeah, God, Jesus went through something. Now, this sixth one. Now, after Jesus had received this vinegar, he said, it's finished. I need to tell somebody tonight, it won't last much longer. I don't know what you're going through, but it won't last much longer. Don't be so quick to faint and give up. Don't be so quick to think that God has forgotten about you. Jesus knew all the time that he was going to be rescued by his daddy. Yes, it was painful. Yes, it was burning him then. But he knew if he could just hold out until that resurrection in the morning. Oh, my God. If he could just hold out, he knew. He knew. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Gave up this old life. Gave up that old position he had. Went to a new position. You know what his new position was? Laying in a grave. He laid in a grave. 3 long days. Laid in a grave, y'all. God has not forgotten about you yet. I don't care how long you've been in it. I don't care how many people think you ain't nothing and nobody. Don't care how whether they like you or not. It's not important. The Bible said, in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Y'all gonna make me holler after a while. I hear Jesus here saying it's finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Sometimes you got to get yourself out of the way and let God have his way. I'm just about through now. He says here, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This significant event symbolizes Christ's work on the cross was finished. I stopped by here tonight to tell somebody, trouble don't last always. I stopped by here to tell somebody, these rough days will soon be over. Hang on in there just a little while longer. Hang on in there until you hear God said, servant, servant, servant. Yeah. I feel like hollering now. Servant. I've been on the warfare a long time. Servant. I've been without a daddy for a long time. Servant. I've been without a mama since I was 15 years old. Servant. God has replenished them 3 or 4 times. God has never left me alone. When I was in my distraught, God picked me up. When I was down and out, God encouraged my heart. Tell somebody, never alone. Never alone. He won't leave you. Never alone. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. When the wind is blowing, hold on. When the rain is falling, hold on. When folks don't like you, hold on.